Fitzy and Whipper.
Nova. G'day, podcasters. Since you've already hit play, you may as well dirty up those digits with Red Rooster's new crispy chicken wings and dipping sauce. With spicy buffalo or creamy ranch sauce to choose from, head to redrooster.com.au, click order now, and they'll bring them to you. Red Rooster, now delivered straight to your door. Game changer. Delivery available in select stores only. G'day, podcasters. It is Fitzy and Whipper. Huge show today. A couple of guests. The magnificent Chrissy Swan.
Friend of the show. Love to hug her. I just love embracing her.
Well, she thinks she's going insane at the moment. There's a couple of things that are happening in her life, and unfortunately we've had to check her into a special hospital to get checked
out. We're just going to get her on the show.
Oh, okay.
We've got some basic questions to
ask.
The hospital we're doing next week.
Okay, got you. So she'll get on the show today to talk about that. And also, you know him as Patrick from Offspring,
but
he is now playing Peter Brock, the old Brocky.
Mm.
The old Brock dog.
Mm. Brock monster.
Rock out with your Brock out,
they used
to call him. Well, he loved getting his Brock out, didn't he, back in the day?
Very busy with his Brock.
So, Matt Lenevez is the actor who is playing Peter Brock. He's going to be on the show soon. Enjoy. Over the weekend, it was the Australian Radio Awards, and we need to say well done to our drive show, Kate, Tim and Marty.
Yes.
They took our best on-air team.
I think they're still celebrating.
Which is an amazing effort. It's like the premiership
mm-hmm.
of the radio industry.
Yeah.
So well done to those guys. Thing was yesterday, everyone had to jump on a flight, quite hungover after celebrating Saturday night.
Mm.
And in Melbourne, the winds got up to like 140, 150 kilometres per hour.
It was unbelievable. The panic for me set in on Saturday morning when I was still in Sydney. And I turned on the TV, knowing I was about to get on the plane, and they said, wind's expected to hit 100 kilometres an hour tomorrow morning. And I went, that's when I'll be coming home.
Now, Whipper's got a fear of flying. We've told you this plenty of times before.
I have a respect for flying.
A total fear of flying. He turns into a little girl, and it's unbelievable to watch. When he gets on the flight, he has to ask the flight attendant, what's takeoff going to be like? He has to speak to the pilot sometimes. He drinks red wine. You do, mate. I've been with you. Now, Tommy, you were on his... Sarah and I said, thank God we weren't on the flight.
Well, I was supposed to be, and then at the last minute I got to the airport early and moved forward a flight, and Whipper had offered to upgrade me to business if I would sit with him, and so texted me and said, do you want that upgrade? And I said, oh, sorry, Mike, I've jumped on an earlier flight.
So you sacrificed business and got an earlier flight
to stay away from me.
But then the text,
I got an upgrade on points.
The text started by the time I got home telling me how much wine he'd had, how bad the flight was, then the phone call where he's slurring a little bit.
Oh, Zara, Tommy, you are such an
Tommy, you were on his flight, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Well, Tommy, it started in the lounge, didn't it?
Well, yeah, we heard huge wind hitting the building and I thought it was a plane, but Whips, you were very nervous, you were on edge.
Yeah, so if you're sitting there, you didn't know the difference between the weather and a jet engine outside the window. That's what it felt like sitting there.
But when we landed, I just got a series of texts from Whips once we landed in Sydney. First one saying, oh yeah, and then baby, and then red wine.
Oh, they were like the ones I got.
This was at 10:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh, 10:30 in the morning.
Hang on a minute. Can I just describe, right? We hadn't even left the gate, right? So the air bridge is still connected to the aeroplane, and there was turbulence on the plane. The plane was rocking before we'd even got out onto the tarmac.
Some 007 Ben that works on the show, he was told on his flight, it's too windy outside. We can't get your bags on there, so we will send you your bags tomorrow.
Wow.
Back to Sydney.
Wow.
You'll get them tomorrow. He hasn't even got his bag yet.
It's the worst feeling in the world. And you see that footage, which is getting around on Facebook, of a plane. It's better to be going out if there's bad wind than coming in. And you see this Qantas jet, and it's coming in, and you see the wind grab its wings a bit. And as it comes into land, it gets thrown to the side, and then the captain aborts the landing, and it shoots off again.
Well,
smart captain.
Stop complaining, mate.
I was fine, mate.
At least it's not Hurricane Matthew, which is unfortunately taken about 800 lives in Haiti. And in the US, it's taken about 17 lives. Now, it hit the southeastern part of the US over the weekend. And obviously, there was a few people freaking out. And they say, look, leave the area. Get out of there. A hurricane's coming. But there's also a lot of people that don't want to leave home.
Mm.
So a weather presenter, this is without a word of a lie, he went on to do his weather and just to freak people out a little bit just to get them out of there.
This moves 20 miles to the west and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you.
Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die too.
Oh, that was a weather presenter.
Imagine Timmy Bailey getting on the news.
And your kids die too.
Red face telling everyone they're going to die. And iOS 10, I believe, is the current update. Anyone else updated their software for the Apple?
I'm too scared.
It's so good. I never thought I'd say that. You're right. I'm always too scared because I think, am I going to open it and will it be the same? Am I going to lose anything?
Well, there's been a few teething problems, hasn't there?
Yes, but it's clever. There's so much good stuff on it.
Like what?
Predictive emoji. Like if I write home, it just gives me a house option.
Who wants
like
that?
Like that's how clever it is. So if I write to Lisa and I write love, it just pops up as a heart and says, do you want to just send a heart instead?
Well, no, you still have to press on it, don't you?
Yeah, you got to click on the heart and then I go, oh, okay, I can just send a heart. So I'm just having conversations and emojis the entire time.
Changed your life.
I mean, moments like that. I mean, what about the squiggle one that you can do? So you just, like you've got a pen on your finger, you just draw into the pad and there, bang, you send it.
How many times have you used that?
Well, once, but you know, I'll use it all the time for the next day until I'm sick of it. I mean, Tommy and I were just going squiggle message back and forth on the weekend, which was just so fun.
It's
like
sort of Windows Paint, where you can just use your fingertip and you can draw whatever you want and send it as a text.
It's not a big feature. Look, who's using that to send a text message? I mean, you've got no room on your phone to write.
Tom drew a man's genitals and sent it back to me. I mean, you can't write it the way Tom would draw that.
I mean, that's just...
Shouldn't have brought that up.
Very accurate. Just use the eggplant emoji.
I actually tried to type in...
eggplant emoji.
Penis as evil would present an emoji like that. It doesn't, so I'll just clear that right now. A couple of other great things, though. When you go to your messaging, there's... You can send, what do they call them? They're called heartbeats. So if you're in your message box, you can just tap your fingers twice and it will send a heart so that it just fires away straight off. And it's like a big coloured heart. So if Sarah sent it to you, you would open it and a heart would just appear and beat on your screen.
That's
from me.
Creepy.
How good is that?
Gross.
Or that if I'm angry, I do two fingers drag down, broken heart. So it'll arrive on your screen and
shatter.
How clever is that?
Yeah.
Then there's a feature called invisible ink, right? So if I send a picture message, you then have to rub your finger over it to see the message.
Almost how am I going to know that?
Well, it's like a frosted window when it comes up on your phone.
Yeah.
And then there's message slam, says. So the message will just appear and then slam onto your page.
When you send the invisible ink, does the turd emoji come up afterwards just to say how bad it is?
Say that you're an idiot for using it in the first place. What were you saying that you loved about it, Mel?
Well, because I go to the gym on Mondays at 4 p.m. every Monday, when I get in my car, my phone says 7 minutes to Bondi Junction because it knows that I go to Bondi Junction at 4 p.m. every Monday.
See, that's not bad. That's important. Yep. There's another one as well. Is it true now that if you sync it up to your Bluetooth, it can tell you where your car is?
Yep. So
let's say you go and park it at a Westfield, don't know what level you're on. It tells you where your car is.
So clever.
That's pretty good.
I mean, there's also like a sleep manager. So if you type in how many hours of sleep you'd like each night, then it'll let you know when it's time to go to bed. This is designed so you stop thinking.
No, well, it is.
Stop the human brain. It's organized to shut down all humans. I mean,
you must have uploaded the software a couple of years ago then. I mean,
the other good thing is too, is the face recognition in your photos. So if I look at my photos,
they already do that.
It shows who the people in my phone that I have the most photos of. So if you just look quickly, Tommy, you can see there close up that I've got many photos of Ryan James Fitzgerald. And no longer, Fitzy, do I have to go and search for the photos of you. I've now got my own Fitzy file on my phone.
There's a couple of minutes that I'll never get back.
So you learned something this morning.
That's great. Peter Brock. The television series, the man that plays Peter Brock, is Matt Lenovez. He joins us now. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good. How you doing, mate?
Oh, mate, so good. I mean, so good to get the old Brocky on. Geez, you must have been a bit nervous when you got the phone call to be Peter Brock.
Yeah, it was a little daunting, obviously, you know, stepping into the shoes as such an Australian icon, but then you got to move beyond that now and do as, you know, hard work as you can, and now it's daunting about the screen end, but no, it was good.
Well, I love the idea of these great Australian stories that are now being played out on our screen because these stories deserve to be celebrated, and you're right, there would be a level of nerves, Matty, that comes with it because you want to do the story justice. What did you learn about Peter Brock that you didn't already know?
Quite a lot, actually. You know, I had a few months to prepare, and I worked really, really hard on, you know, reading everything you can read about him, and there's quite a lot. And then also looking at all the interviews that he did and all the racing footage. What we really tried to focus on as much as possible was the essence of him, really trying to understand his spirit and the inside out of him. So not trying to mimic a man and try and lessen, you know, by seeing an actor kind of piece together something which might be you mimicking an Australian icon. What we're trying to do is understand the essence of this human being and what he went through. And to me, that's the most compelling aspect of Brockie's life is he was a really spiritual guy. He's a guy who believed in a philosophy and crystal healing. And for a man in that industry to believe in something like that, and that's where the energy polarizer came about, which some people might know about.
What was that?
It was the device that he wanted to put in the car to make them run smoother. So Brockie smoked and he drank and he ate pretty, you know, junk food. And then he got quite sick and he couldn't kick it. And then suddenly he believed in this new philosophy and he started doing some crystal healing. And I mean, this is not for me to judge because I was portraying him, but he gave up smoking, he gave up drinking. He became a vegan. And he really thought that maybe these crystals could also affect the not only the cells in a person, but the cells maybe in a car and the way the car works. And that was what cost him the relationship with Holden when he put the polarizer, these crystals inside the Brock specials that he was building. And they couldn't insure them. They couldn't put a warranty on them. And it's those aspects about his life that are the most fascinating to me.
Well, he was also a ladies' man too, which works perfectly because you could just play yourself during those parts, Matty.
don't tell my girlfriend that. She'll come and kill you.
You've got the gift. You've got the looks, mate. No, I mean, that would be natural for you.
There's certainly a few relationships in this, and then there's certainly... I can't remember the amount of girls I kissed in this show. There must be 30.
What was Nat Bass
every
like?
Every day, she's a good kisser. Yeah.
She's a superstar.
She was great, Nat. It was funny, you know, I'd just turn up for work and there'd be, you know, six girls lining up and they'd be like, okay, you're kissing her, kissing her later in the day and you're kissing her early in the day. And I look over to my mate, Brendan Cowell, who was playing Alan Moffat.
Yeah, great.
And Brendan's like, is Alan Moffat kissing anyone? No, sorry, Moffat.
Not today again.
Were there any steamy scenes in cars that Brockie did or any stories that you've learned?
Oh, well, he used to love taking journalists, female journalists, for a hot lap, you know, and we get to do that with Nat. So Brockie takes Julie around in the car. And, you know, I'm sure there were some old scenes in the cars in the 60s. So, I used to have a bit of romance in the back of a car when I was a kid. So I don't know if I can't remember if we've got any kissing in the back of cars. There's certainly a lot of kissing in the back of the pit.
Yeah. But, what was your first car, Matty?
Oh, it's nothing glamorous. I remember... I think it was a Mazda, D6 or something.
Yeah, right.
But I'm a revhead from way back. I still remember one day stealing my mate's sister's car, which was an old Cortina, and taking it out the back dirt roads of Canberra and flogging it over some jumps and some hills and then turning it to a party. And I remember pulling into my mate's house and his dad, who must have been 150 kilos, was just standing in the driveway and just said, "You with me."
I'd
stolen his daughter's car. He looked at me and he was an intimidating bloke and he just looked at me and he said, "Matt, I am not telling your father." I thought, is that good news or is he going to kill me in like half an hour? I don't know what that means.
Sure.
But he didn't tell my dad and, you know, thankfully the car didn't break down.
It's a great story.
Geez, you played some iconic characters now. The good things come in threes. You were Dennis Lilly and now you're Peter Brock. I mean, what's next?
Farlap, mate. I'm working on it now. Transformational. Daniel Day-Lewis is my acting coach. We've got it down pat.
You'd make a great horse. I'd love to see that, Matty. We're going to write that down and hold you to it.
All right.
Well, an inquiry was made by the government this year, which led to our Premier Mike Baird making the rash decision to ban the greyhound industry altogether. Now, we pick up the paper today and we find out...
What a backflip.
There is a backflip. It looks like tomorrow he is set to reverse that decision and the greyhounds will go on, which is great news because there is a lot of people, a lot of families who will be affected by this. One man who has been campaigning against it is a good mate of ours. It's Ray Hadley and he joins us now. Good morning, Ray.
Ray.
G'day, boys. What about the full page ad for you blokes yesterday? Geez, Lachlan's not mucking about. It's about a $30,000 ad.
I mean, I had my good pants on, I had my good jacket on, Ray.
Well, Ray,
I'd like someone at Fairfax to spend as much money on me and Jonesy. Fair dinkum.
That's another issue.
Well, when you don't win a radio award, you got to get in the paper somehow, Ray. You know what I mean?
Well, you just follow my lead. Don't nominate for them. You can't get beat by dummies.
Ray, big victory for you today, mate, as we look at the paper and we see reads a reverse on the ban.
It's not a victory for me, boys. It's a victory for common sense. You only had to listen to and watch and read about the people affected. A young bloke that spoke to Paul Murray on Sky the other night was a young bloke who spoke to me about 2 months ago. He put everything on the line. He left his job, went to Bathurst to become a greyhound trainer, breeder, spelling farm at a cost of $800,000. He tipped in $400 at it by selling his house in Sydney, borrowed $400,000. If this thing had gone ahead, that property would have been worth $300,000.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's not worth anything, you know, the farmers or pastoralists, it's just not worth a cracker. So, young bloke with three or four kids, he's down the gurgler. And that was replicated right across New South Wales. Look, there's no doubt there's some dunderheads in greyhound racing, like there are in radio, like there is in journalism, like there is in, you know, there's sparkies who are dunderheads, there are plumbers who are dunderheads, there are truck drivers who are imbeciles. Get rid of them and let the rest of the population get on with their lives. That's all they had to do. And, you know, if there are 1,500, 15,000 participants in any avenue, you know, there'll be a certain percentage who are imbeciles who do the wrong thing. And this has happened here. There are imbeciles who need to be weeded out. Now, the worst part about it is Greyhound Racing New South Wales was a government-appointed board, appointed by Troy Grant, George Souris before him, and a range of politicians over a period of time. So they've appointed the people who've run and administered the sport. They don't want to close it down because the sport's not being run properly. How much sense does that make? So if he does this tomorrow or today, as I suggest he might, and the Telegraph seems to have the running on it, well, that'll be a wonderful thing. It'll be a wonderful thing, and it'll be wonderful if the industry's cleaned up as well and we get the imbeciles out of the industry.
Well, that's the thing, and that was the main aim that Mike Baird was aiming for. So if he's able, like it says here, to include beefed-up jail terms for animal cruelty and caps on the number of dogs that can be bred, if they can control that, then it's a win-win.
Most assuredly.
If
most
they
assuredly.
Can.
In other words, and the report that came down, the Special Commissionary Inquiry, which made a whole range of recommendations, and one of them was to close it down, but there were 80 recommendations. They ignored 79 and put in the 80th. Well, now they can work through the others. And the Greyhound Alliance from the GBOTA, they put forward at least 10 weeks ago some recommendations there that could be followed. And they've already done all this, boys. You know, the breeding, the thing about, oh, you've got to cap the number of litters. That's already been done. Over the last 15 months, that's been achieved. Injuries. Well, you know, I mean, footballers get injured. They're participants in sport. Greyhounds get injured. Racehorses get injured. That's unavoidable. Yeah. We minimise the injury and make it safer by putting in new tracks and softer surfaces. Yeah. When they do fall, exactly. They don't hurt themselves. Whole range of things. And the live baiting, well, that, I mean, that's from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. It shouldn't been happening this decade.
Should we celebrate by getting a greyhound now, Ray? Do you want to do that? Can we go in together, mate?
Well,
the Hadley.
No, you buy it, you pay for it, and I'll be a shareholder. I'm very happy. You blokes are earning a lot more money than me up there.
Oh, give me
I wish, Ray.
No, look, mate, I'm a single father on a fixed income. I'm just battling.
And Mike Baird wants to remove your car park from downstairs as well.
Oh, what about that? Yeah. How are you going with the $88 fines down there, boys? Hey, listen, that's another victory. I've been whinging about you blokes parking in my way for the last 3 years. And finally, the palookas who own the building have put an $88 fine. They're going to tow your car away.
We're gone. We're out of there. Mate, thank you, Ray.
Always a pleasure. Love getting you on, Ray. Thank
well
you.
Well done. Great photo, too. Keep going.
Have a look outside the window. The winner is Sydney.
Oh, well done. Yeah. That was really well done. That
thank
was live.
You, mate.
Yep, an Olympics announcement. Well
it
done.
It was. I mean, it's just the perfect Monday morning, if there's such a thing. Matty DeGroote, good to have you on board.
Thank you,
Tommy
mate.
Ivy.
Happy Monday, guys.
The team is in. Sarah McGilvray.
Good morning.
Ryan James Fitzgerald.
Well, it is going to be very hot today as well, getting up to 32 degrees, but a late shower coming in.
Late shower copping.
Mm. Home just in time to take the dog for a walk and get spanked with rain.
Oh,
I didn't know where you were going.
Thank God you said rain at the end there.
Yeah. I thought we were going to mention Gary.
I love my dog, but not that much. Jeez.
Gary.
Whoa, what is going
right,
on?
Front page of the paper this morning, you'll see that Mike Baird has announced that Olympic Park, this is the plan for 2030, right? The population will be 10 times the current number with a mini city at Olympic Park, 45-story resident towers and thriving shopping precincts.
That's a huge.
It'll be huge.
That is massive. A mini city.
Yep.
He's on the front page quite a bit today, Mike Baird.
I reckon that was the balancer. I reckon he realised the dog story. He's gone, oh, got that bloody backflip coming up.
He's going to reverse the greyhound band. It looks like it's going to go ahead, the greyhound still.
So he said, how can I make that a little bit more attractive? New city, guys. We're booming.
Oh, because if there's what one dogs? Thing that Sydney loves, it's being sent to Homebush
Absolutely.
Bay.
Absolutely.
We can all go to Homebush Bay.
You won't have to leave, though, mate. Oh,
you're not going to visit friends
It's actually the real estate prices around Homebush have gone through the roof. People are trying to get in there.
I don't doubt it for a second. I'm just saying that if you were to say, boys, what do you want to do for the weekend? Where do you want to go out? And someone says, boys, let's hit Homebush Bay.
Not again.
Well, do you know what? Do you know what, mate? You go out there regularly to watch sport, so I'd keep your mouth shut.
Oh, he's got
me. He's done a backflip there.
Can I just also, I didn't know this because I thought our unemployment rate had actually been going down over the past few months, but it says here the number of Aussies on the dole has increased 70% in the past 10 years, costing taxpayers $200 billion a year.
Yeah, you got to look into those numbers, don't you? I mean, the list, there's one around the corner from where I live and the queue around the door on payday is still pretty chockers.
Be nice to wake up this morning and not have to go to work, wouldn't it?
Do you want to go on the dole, do you say?
I don't know if I want to go on the dole, but I mean, waking up this morning and thinking,
I don't think people are choosing to leave their job to go on the dole. It's when you can't get a job.
I don't know. Did you see that thing? Was it on A Current Affair a few weeks ago with all the kids who are like, nah, not getting a job when I grow up, going to play video games?
Yep, government, mate.
Yep.
Well, those girls that were in the paper, they found out that was just all put on. They actually did have jobs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they were actors, they are paid.
Yeah, so they got good coverage.
Well done. What do you got, Says?
Well, Channel 7, guys, they've been forced to deny that they're moving home and away to 7-2. You know how Neighbours was moved to Channel 11?
Don't do
by
that.
By Channel 10? Yeah, but that's because Neighbours wasn't rating. Home and Away rates. I'm not sure why they're doing it, other than exciting news they want to bring back Today Tonight.
Oh,
wowzers.
Oh, Tom, honestly.
Tom, your wife's addicted to Home and Away still, isn't she?
She was devastated when she heard the goss yesterday because she was like, I love it being on 7.
Guess who else? Anyway. Guess who else were at the airport yesterday?
Who?
Elsa.
Oh.
You know that?
You know Judy Nunn.
Yeah,
my parents went on a boat cruise with her.
With Judy Nunn?
Yeah. Mum said, guess who we're on a boat cruise with, Sarah? Anyway, they're all friends by the end.
Last time I was getting on a plane, in front of me was Ray Maher. You would love him to pieces, Alf Stewart. And then I saw Judy Nunn yesterday. I just couldn't believe.
Oh, God.
I mean, so much fun flying and seeing Home and Away stars. How I choose to spend my weekend.
I'm just hoping there'll be one.
Sexy Nunn.
Yeah, no such thing. No, there's not. Ever being in a situation, I haven't been in one, I don't know if you guys have, where you have to become a good Samaritan or you have to go
step in.
You have to go to someone's help or, you know, someone might be drowning, Sarah, and you have to just jump in and you have to save them.
You always think about where you'd be at that time, don't you?
Yeah, would you do it though?
Definitely.
Would you jump in? If someone's drowning.
You do think, it depends on what the situation is. It's like, you know, going in to save a family who's in a fire or something like that. But just, I think human reaction is you just want to go in and you just want to do it. And you got to make a split second decision.
Yep.
So this happened to me the other day. I was walking the dog Cooper, went on this huge walk, and there was a father and son up ahead of me. And I was behind them for about a kilometre. And they were walking along and they were stopping and they were looking at things. And I wasn't taking any notice because I was listening to
our podcast.
Yeah, no.
Checking how you're sounding.
I was listening to music and I was just, you know, with Cooper walking along. And then all of a sudden, Sarah, I looked up and the boy was freaking out. And the father, so this was the situation.
Mm.
The dad had his phone up as if he was watching a video on his phone and the kid was in hysterics. Like around him going
crying.
So I took my headphones off and this kid is going, oh, Dad,
God.
You don't know what you've done. Oh, what are you doing? And he is in hysterics, like he was hitting the floor on his knees.
So what are you thinking?
And this, so I'm thinking that this father has got some shocking video or footage on his phone.
What's he done to the kid?
What has he done to the kid? Right, so it was that split second where I was like,
do I run in?
I need to do something here. So I start running up, right? And this kid is just grabbing the father and ripping at his shirt. He's going, you don't know what you've done. Geez. What have you done?
Call the cops.
So I've gone, I'm thinking, what's going on here? What's going on? I look at the father and he's on his phone and he's just swiping it up. He couldn't get a certain Pokemon.
Oh, man.
Sarah, I'm not joking. This kid.
Yeah, you should have made a citizen's arrest.
This kid was going, Dad, we've been walking for so long. Let it go. Don't let it go. He was freaking out. And this father was going, look, Gerald, just don't worry about it. I'll get it. But he couldn't shoot it properly.
I agree. And I'm just thinking, what's happening in this world?
I agree, Sarah. There's a taser gun required right there.
Absolutely. Lock them up.
This was my first hero moment where I could have stepped up and saved someone, being a good Samaritan.
Yeah, or just stop any father and son combinations from going to the park looking for Pokemon.
And I just ended up walking past them. Even Cooper was shaking his head. Going, this is a disgrace.
What losers.
Hey, podcasters, if you're enjoying today's show so much you can't be bothered cooking, head to redrooster.com.au, click order now, and they'll bring their famous chicken to you. Like the new crispy chicken wings with spicy buffalo or creamy ranch sauce. Whether you can't be bothered cooking or the halftime hunger kicks in, Red Rooster now delivers straight to your door. Game changer. Delivery available in select stores only.
Lights, camera, hilarity.
Says Angelina Jolie. Now Brad's out of the house. They've hired some new help, is that right?
She has, and this one is a little bit controversial. Remember in 2000 when she was making out with her brother and publicly declared how much she's in love with him?
Oh yeah, that was...
Who was her brother?
Her brother, James Haven.
Wow.
Jimmy Haven,
43-year-old big brother James Haven. He is now the kid's new full-time nanny.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't it? This is the thing. At face value, you go, yeah, of course. Family members help out. And then you sort of go, you guys have a really interesting past. I mean, making out on a red carpet and then publicly saying that she loved him.
But you guys have never made out with your siblings. Tommy, you've never hooked up with Lucy.
Never.
Even at Christmas after a few drinks.
Especially not at Christmas.
Maybe this year, Tommy. Maybe this year.
A few people hooked up with your siblings, hasn't it?
That's not where I'm going with this. No, they haven't. Okay. The girls are pure and innocent.
Anyway, watch this space. Daniel Craig has expressed regret for slamming the idea of working on the James Bond franchise again. That, to me, means someone is offering him even more money and we're probably going to see him back in the seat.
Well, the story getting around is two more films for $200 million.
It's ridiculous.
I don't believe it.
He's peroxide hair at the moment. He's got blonde hair.
Well, it's a big step to go from saying, I would rather slip my wrists, or what was the other one? Something about
squeeze
a pus
out of
it. Suck the abscess out of her.
Just disgusting.
Can I just throw this in? When we talk about the highest paid Hollywood stars, it's always like Johnny Depp, and he might be getting 20, 25 a movie if it's a big film. Daniel Craig has not been offered $100 million per film.
No, no, well, the film close to $1 billion.
Don't care.
That's 10%, mate.
Doesn't matter. He doesn't get 10%.
But you look at artists like Robbie Williams and Adele and think about what they get offered, and it would be, what did she get? Was it like 300 mil? For three albums or something, that's effectively the same thing.
Oh, just seems like it's blowing it out of the water.
It's a pretty good paycheck.
I'd do it for 10.
Oh, would you?
I'd take 10 mil for that role, and I'll do Bond.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
Fine.
I would pay $10 billion not to see you in a James Bond film.
We should film an audition tape later and put it up online.
Bond.
You trying to be James Bond.
James Bond.
Yep, I see those stunts going kind of badly.
Tops off scenes.
Can you do a tuck roll?
Huh?
You know when he does action scenes, actors always
do a tuck shop. I do a tuck shop.
I do the tummy tuck most days, just with the elastic of my undies.
Tuck shop
sit
arms,
down.
Yeah,
strong arms, mate. I'm ready to go.
Anyway, Kanye West, guys, he's appeared over the weekend. He's performed in Chicago, and the crowd have said that he was in good spirits. He obviously didn't address what had gone on with Kim Kardashian, and she was noticeably absent. She normally goes to all of his shows, but she's in LA, holed up in the house, apparently surrounded by family. Someone who was there though was this bodyguard that everyone keeps talking about, Pascal.
Oh, Pastel.
He was in the crowd. So he's obviously not been let go, but we'll see what happens with him.
I wonder if she's got any jewellery or how's the deal going with the insurance company?
Well, they've made the claim. I think she's claimed $6 million. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
God, you'd never insure her again, would you?
Finally, Simon Cowell has had a little bit of a crack at Niall. He said that he would have charted high because, you know, Niall obviously released This Town a few weeks ago.
Yep.
This was it.
Yep.
Yeah, Simon Cowell has said it would have debuted at number one if Niall hadn't signed with another label and had stayed with his label, because James Arthur, who released Say You Won't Let Go, he did go to number one, and he is one of Simon Cowell's people. So Simon's had a bit of a crack and then put up a Twitter. He said, hashtag loyalty.
Well, no, James Arthur's song's better, first of all.
Oh, don't be like that.
No, it's a fair point.
And you know, there is a lot of bad blood there. Because One Direction have finished, there is.
He's only mucking around.
I reckon Niall's probably the best bloke in the group. He's a sensational guy, but I reckon that song will go as quick as it came.
I don't reckon you should be in charge of music selection just quietly.
Well,
thanks for your hot tip.
John Farnham on the show today.
Oh, dear.
Let's be honest. It is a better. James Arthur's got a better voice.
Nah,
he's a gun.
Sorry.
He's a gun, James
One
Arthur.
One Direction can do no wrong.
Oh, Sarah's still in love.
Chrissy Swan.
Oh, look at you. Oh, you
feels good, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Feels good just to hug.
Just a few whispers going around the office that you're losing your mind a little bit. A few things happening in your life where people are freaking out.
Fitzy, are those whispers coming from me?
They are. Stop spreading the word that you've lost the plot.
You told me to bring it up before our chat. So yeah.
Look, I've always been a bit insane, but I feel like, you know, the older I'm more insane now than I was when I was 20.
Yeah, sure.
And I was more insane at 20 than I was, you know, when I was 10.
That
and
concerns me.
I know. And I do have a daughter and I look at her and I think, you've got a long and insane life ahead of you. But I just wanted, because I trust you guys and you're sort of the most normal people I know. If that gives you,
thank you,
any idea of the rest of my friends.
Wow, good team.
I got a few things that have happened and I just want to see if you think I'm half crackers or not.
Yep, sure, right? Sure.
So every time I go to the servo and I buy a petrol, I'm tempted by the summer rolls and the honey nougat logs.
Yeah, okay.
They're my favourite.
Oh, right. They're so good. And the caramel, the summer bars.
The summer bars.
Yeah, that's the sesame seed bar.
Oh, my God. I love the sesame bar.
Yeah, they're so good. I'm tempted as well, Chrissy.
So they're my favourite line, the Europe line.
Yeah, sure.
But for my whole life, I cannot remember which one I like. And I look at the summer roll and I think, is it you? And then I look at the honey nougat log and I think, is it you?
Yeah.
And I always choose the summer roll.
Yeah, me too.
And then I get back to the car and I take a bite of it and I go, my favourite's the honey nougat log.
Chrissy.
And I have done that every time. For decades now. I get confused with the coconut. I go, because I love coconut. And I think, which one's my favourite? It must be the one with coconut on it, which is the summer roll. It isn't. It never is.
I think behind the counter has been trying to help you with this for a long time, and that's simply why he will offer you two for a dollar. So stop selecting and ignoring the offer because he's trying to tell you you need both of them, Chrissy.
You are absolutely right.
My God.
A sesame bar thrown in for good measure. Okay, so bonkers or not? Is that bonkers or not?
You're okay at this stage.
Okay, all right. I am looking at getting two rescue kittens. They're not old enough yet
with
us.
You're bonkers.
Really, already?
Yeah. Your family's big enough.
They're not old enough to come and live with us yet. They've got to be 12 weeks and they're only 8.
You're okay, sure, countdown.
But, you know, I have set up a date with them for next weekend and I'm driving quite a long way to go and see them.
Right,
my sister's coming.
What are you?
So you're going to see if you've got a connection with the kittens before you bring them home?
Yes, because you know I'm making a commitment to them for life. This is not married at first sight.
No.
I want to see. I want to see if we're a good match, and then if they are, then I'll commit to them. But if not, I'm not going with any view of bringing them home.
How do you know? But with a kitten, though, or a cat, how do you know that you've had a connection with it, Chrissy?
It's just the vibe.
All right, you're completely insane.
Okay, all right. Well, I got one.
You got one. There's a tick there from me. You've lost the plot.
All right, what about this one? Currently, as I sit here talking to you, I know you've been checking out my rack. It's all right, you're human.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us.
But it has been 3 years since I breastfed a child, and I'm currently wearing a maternity bra.
Why not? Oh. Why not? Is there a reason?
There is. There is a reason. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood for underwire, and I opt for the trapdoor.
Okay.
I do not use it. I don't use the clip.
No.
But listen, just to prove to you people listening.
Whoa.
See if I'm going to get my boobs out. What do you think I am, on Big Brother?
I feel like I'm on Red Faces and I've just been booted off through the trapdoor.
Listen.
That's the clip right there.
Wow.
That's
a trapdoor.
Proof of clip.
That's my ginormous boozy straining at the clip.
So you haven't used them at all?
No, well, why would I? It's been 3 years since I've had a child that was even remotely interested.
Chrissy, if you would merge a couple of the examples we've heard today and say that you were prepared to help the kittens out with some of them.
you are absolutely disgusting. Imagine if I brought the kittens home and I just lay in the laundry on my side.
In the mood.
You could come get it, kittens.
Mate, this is creepy, guys. No.
You could steal a couple of the kittens in your trapdoor there and just
oh, my God. See?
The kitten smuggler.
So, I am not insane at all. I'm practical.
No. As you're driving home with your maternity bra on and a couple of kittens that have been stuffed down there and you're eating a summer roll.
You know what I love? And, Sarah, this is back to you too, because young love and new love. Let's not say young love. Let's say new love, because it's such an exciting time when you start out sort of meeting someone and then you find that you're in love and you can't keep your hands off each other. And PDAs, do you get into that with Gary? You said that you slap his bum bit, which you have a bit of a laugh
we
about.
We like to pinch each other's bottoms and things.
Out in public.
That's gross,
Sarah.
Yeah,
just as you walk past each other, just a little bit of a tushy grab. And
that's cute.
Yeah, we like to hold hands and sometimes a bit of the kissing. And
well,
a
you
bit
do
of
that to us. You give me a tushy tap
you
sometimes
love my
as well.
Tushy taps.
No, Sarah, I don't think there's a real mutual respect there, to be honest with you.
Well, it's just when I see you get angry sometimes, I walk past and go, tushy tap, and you look at me like I can't be angry
it
anymore.
It does break the mood.
Do you do much sort of just making out when you're, you know, out and about, if you're out the front of a pub? I mean, when you got hit the other day with some ice in the eye, Gary couldn't see them because he didn't have his glasses on.
I mean, this was
interesting at the park yesterday, and I was surprised. It was just Lisa and I and the boys. We went down there, Centennial Park, and it was just the normal place where we just let Ted off the leash and he runs. And it was quite strange. Young love, couple on a seat, just going for it like they were on their own couch.
It's quite confronting, isn't it?
It is quite confronting. Yeah. I didn't know whether to look or... I mean, there was a moment too where his hands were just...
going for it.
Drifting to places they shouldn't have been in a public park.
Were they young?
Would have been 18-ish.
Were they good looking?
Not bad looking, although... They were so passionate.
Oh no!
You could hear sort of the breathing, and I'm not saying I was.
How
standing...
close were you? You've got your head in.
I know,
there.
It's hard to describe.
Oh, God. You're under the seat. Wow, this is amazing.
Taking photos. You mind if I lie here for a while?
I'm just sorry, guys. I'm just gaffer taping this GoPro. Don't worry about me.
We'll get it up. NovaFM.com.au. Anyway, they were rudely interrupted by my son. This was a beautiful series of events. So Ted just kept going up to them. But first, he's obsessed with rocks and sticks. He finds a rock, looks around, walks over, interrupts them, and hands them the rock. So he's just he just yells out, there, puts the rock, and the guy has to be interested, stops kissing the girl, and goes, thanks, mate, thanks a lot, and sort of looks over at us. Yeah. We're just there, sort of smiling away. Continues to run around, finds a stick. And I go, Ted, bring the stick over here, mate, like a dog.
He's not a dog.
He is now. We gave him some meaty bites and he was wrapped. He takes the stick over to the couple and interrupts the couple again.
Yeah.
And this guy's sort of, with his Russian hands and roaming fingers, he's throwing them up in the air going, oh, well, I'm just here to make out. I don't know what they thought Ted was suggesting.
He's just like his father, isn't he? You just used to, when you were younger, watch other people hooking up with each other and you'd go and interrupt with
a stick. Just creeping on them.
I don't know what he thought they needed a stick for. I'm quite confused. I don't know what goes on in there. Private life. The next move was Ted found a plastic bag which looked like it could have possibly been used for dog poo at the park. And I'm running after him. It started from a don't touch that to stop Ted stop, takes the bag and just rests his hand on the guy's leg with a dirty bag with poo on it at the park. So that was the moment we had to come over and go, I'm so sorry, guys. We'll stop this. I'm so sorry you wanted a moment with your new love. You're probably married already and you're cheating and not wanting to be interrupted. The good news, you've got a rock, a stick and a bag full of poo.
Which is a great new game.
It is a great
rock,
new game.
Rock, stick and dog poo.
What wins every time? Probably the poo.
The poo would
have
to.
So I want to apologise to that love that was ruined in the park yesterday. Hopefully you just went home and got it on instead. God, apparently this is the best time of the year to cheat, parents. I mean, I'm not saying that in a celebratory way. I just the statistics, because schools go back, means it's now time for parents to flirt at drop-off.
What?
Yeah, this is what they say. And it's the mums that seem to be doing most of the flirting, which surprises me. More of the flirting done at drop-off instead of pick-up. 80% of women have admitted to flirting at drop-off, 60% of men. So it seems to be that it's the mothers, Sarah, that are looking for the hot dads.
Is that because you get out of the car to drop your kid off, but when you pick them up, you just roll down the window and kind of call
no,
to them?
No, isn't the other way around? Because wouldn't mums, you wouldn't be doing yourself up for drop-off.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, because no, you're ready for work, mm-hmm. or you're ready to get into the day, into so you've day. Got a bit of a face of makeup. Yeah. End of the day,
end of
the
day you're burnt out. Yeah.
But stay-at-home mums aren't. Mate, they're still in their trackies.
No, you're not.
Haven't done their hair, haven't put makeup on, dropping the kids off.
They're doing active wear. They do their active wear.
Yeah.
You whack a little bit of blush on, I would have thought, some eyeliner, and a hat.
What's a good pickup line?
Who's wearing a hat?
I don't know.
Oh,
what would be a good pickup line at a school, I suppose?
Hey, nice drop off.
That's not bad. I know it's 40 k's an hour in this zone, but I had to slow down even more for you.
Yeah. Hey, there's a steering wheel.
I had to slow down for you?
That's
it sounds
not bad.
A little
there's
bit
a
simple.
There's a steering wheel hanging out of my fly. You're driving me nuts.
What?
Whipper.
Well, that's an old pickup line.
It's completely wrong.
Well, it's car related. Drop
no,
off.
No, it's not. It's like, and the joke. The original joke is, what's that steering wheel doing down your pants?
Okay, I don't think we want to hear it again.
So you stuffed
I'm so sorry you're disappointed with my delivery when we're suggesting pickup lines at drop-off times.
Oh, my God.
You've used an old one and you've butchered it.
I mean, it would be... I mean, you're tying it into the pickup too, aren't you? Because, you know, you would be saying, hey, can you get my kid as well and drop the kid off? That's where it would also take place, I reckon.
I reckon this is ridiculous. And I'd love to hear from anyone, or if you know anyone, who has actually gone into a relationship at school pickup or drop-off, 13, 24, 10.
Will we get anyone to call to say that they are looking forward to flirting this morning because the kids are going back to school? I reckon that's a must. And I reckon there'd be the hot dad that all the mums would talk
about.
Well,
there is.
And there'd be the hot mum that the dads would get together and school fair would happen and they'd go, how about bloody Jenny Smith? Yeah. We had a look at Jenny Smith, guys?
At Huey's school. Mm. He's a great guy too, Andy Clark, who's
he's
the fitness coach at Sydney FC. Andy's always been in good nick.
Mm.
So the girls always ogle over him, which is hard when you rock up. And, you know, when I pick up Huey sometimes, I'm hoping Andy's not there.
Yeah, sure.
So you can be the centre of attention. But as soon as he strolls in, it's like, bam!
Damn.
There's
the current guy successful in football.
And he's not even wearing
football.
A top today. Andy, what are you doing?
Andy, that's not so smart. Come on, mate.
Jess in Penrith. What's your story, Jess?
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jess.
In primary school, there was a girl in my class and her mum was quite known to all the parents to be a bit flirty and to flirt with the dad. And I guess she's got a bit of a success story with that flirting because she managed to marry one of the dads and cause a bit of a divorce.
Oh, wow.
No.
See,
really, really enjoying school
drop-off.
I mean,
it sends tongues wagging around the school because mums love to gas bag.
Oh, do they? Why?
I mean, how big was the story, Jess? Was everyone talking about it?
They were always talking about that mum flirting. She caused quite a bit of jealousy and quite a few dads were told not to talk to her anymore.
Wow.
And so then I guess the divorce whispers started to spread when we were in about year six.
Yep.
And then now I'm out of high school even. But I found out that a couple of years ago they married and have started their life. So they've got the blended family happening and
What about...
Thanks, Jess.
What about a mum with one of the teachers?
Well,
is that a big one as well?
Normally it's the sports teacher.
Yeah.
God, we had a bloke called Jamie Graham, right? And he had a whistle around his neck, a singlet, and tight little 80s running shorts that he wore every way. And he was packing Jamie Graham.
Yeah.
And the women loved him. The young mums wanted every piece of Jamie they could get. He took off with 10 of them. It was unbelievable.
Luke in Rossmore. Hi, Luke.
Morning, boys. How are we?
How are you, mate? What's your story?
Oh, mate, I'm a PI, so I'm the lucky one that gets to see this on a weekly basis.
So what do you see? I mean, do you professionally are you assigned to watch different parents, Luke?
Yeah, I'm a local legal stalker. Well, that's what people call me. But so every day I get calls and I go and follow people and catch up on all the affairs.
And how much is going on, Luke?
Mate, it's quite common, actually, especially in relation to this, like school zones and stuff like that. It's, it's a very common place for parents to meet up.
Luke, have you ever busted anyone getting intimate around the school?
Usually they're a little bit more covert.
Yeah.
They might jump into the car and they meet separately in a cafe. Wow. And then they're outside of the area. And then they usually go from there. But it was just last week, and I listened to your story, it was just last week that I did a job at a school. And not just schools, but dancing, you know, dancing classes.
Yes,
after hour dance
sure,
classes.
Little athletics.
They're very, very popular.
Jeez, Luke, so what happens? Okay, so if I think maybe Lisa's, you know, cheating on me or flirting with someone when she drops Ted off at childcare, I would call you. And then what do? Do you follow her from my house or do you wait by the school and with your camera or what is it? What,
so
does
what
it work?
What we usually do is we get some intelligence from, you know, why the person thinks their affair is actually taking place, right? And then we'll get a photo, we'll get registration details, places that they might visit, and movement. So what time they finish work, what time they're going, what times they're missing.
Yeah.
And then we'll set up surveillance around that. And we've got all special gadgets, night vision equipment, hidden cameras.
God.
And then we go in and then we go off and we do the covert surveillance.
Yep.
And then we just see where they go and what they end up doing.
So then you and I will meet up again and I'll say, hey, Lukey, how did you go? And you'll say, well, I've got this photo of her talking to this bloke. And here they are making out in the back of a car. Do you present that sort of evidence?
Yeah, it's all video. So we usually take still captions from video, but it's just all video. So, yeah, and then we'll put it in a DVD or a USB and then we'll present that evidence in a report. Yeah.
Who flirts the most, Luke, at schools from your experience, mums or dads?
Mate, it definitely is the mums. Unfortunately, there's actually, in the last 5 years, there's been a trend more females are actually having affairs than males.
Wow.
I've got to pick up my kids more, I think.
And the stats are also saying that women are requesting the divorces more than men as well.
God. Wow. Hey, Luke, how often, when someone has a suspicion, are they correct?
Oh, look, 98% of the person's intuition is founded by our evidence.
Right, okay.
That is fascinating.
This is fascinating.
Look, as well, I know, how much do you cost? Do you cost, is it by an hour or if you get the job done or what do you charge?
Yeah, so generally for surveillance type of services, you know, like, you know, relating to infidelity, you get charges anywhere from, you know, $80 to $120 per hour.
Right.
And then, you know, it depends. Like, if you've zoned in, like, there's little tips and tricks you can do to, you know, find out, keep an eye out on your partner to reduce those hours.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff on your phone that you can check. Like, even if they're deleting the internet history, you can go in and have a little look at the diagnostic usage on the phone to see what they're doing.
That's dangerous.
So there's good little tips and tricks you can use like that. But, you know, you might be able to get it over and done within a four-hour shift. And, mate, some of the big jobs we've done have taken months.
Yeah,
but
wow.
You know, we've caught...
Is it illegal to bug a car, Luke? Because a mate of mine, Gary, I never know where he's going, and I just thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to find out what he's up to?
Do you put bugs out,
that
Luke?
That is not nice, Whipper.
Do you use bugs, Luke?
That mate, Gary.
Please, Gary.
Do you do that sort of stuff, Luke?
No, so what happens under the Surveillance Devices Act, it's illegal to place a device unless there's some type of order in place. If it's for a child protection matter or something like that, you know, completely different story. But, yeah, most cases, bugging is actually illegal.
Guys out there, I suppose, as well, it's good to know that mums, it could be a good place to pick up.
Yep.
Pick up at a school.
Get into teaching, become a sports teacher. Good luck with the young mums.
Imagine if you had a fake kid. You could have a fake kid. Just take that along and maybe just
blow up doll dropping that off.
Sure.
We need to talk about this. Scary clowns all over town. Gee, I'm doing well. Started in the States a couple of weeks ago. We saw that scary clowns had been surprising, not so much attacking, but scaring people.
Well, no, they've been luring children into the forest.
Oh, my God. They've been doing all sorts of things. I mean, there's a spotting... Spotted over the weekend, Balcombe Hills, Churchill Drive. There were clowns on scooters.
Clowns? So, on scooters, not jumping out behind corners and things.
That's not scary at all.
You
know, no. In the States, there's actual clowns luring children and taking them into the forest.
Oh, yeah. What about the lady who was in her car and the clown approached the car and then pulled out a knife? She nearly ran the clown over on the weekend.
Yeah.
Which wasn't great. That was in Brisbane.
It's a bit of a craze going on. I think it's more dangerous than the people that are actually dressing up as clowns, because I think people will get out of their car now and probably clobber you.
There's actually
no, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't advise it either. There's been a statement that's been put out saying, if it's early in the morning and you see a clown, please be careful, as they obviously have a reason, motive, or objective to be out at this time. Who in their right mind is dressing up as a clown in the middle of the night and going, oh, guys, let's go out and have some fun?
Mm.
I mean, I thought Pokemon was sad. This is another level. Another clown showed up in Bankstown, apparently. And then in Eaglevale yesterday, a woman dressed as a scary clown went through drive-through McDonald's, screaming out the window.
Hang on, that's not illegal. One of my friends used to be the clown at Bunnings. So while you were shopping, that she was making like balloon animals and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the red nose and the big shoes. This is scary face clown.
No, they can
She's
be
going
scary.
Through drive-through. Give her a break. She's just been in a kid's
This has got
party.
Big teeth and a chainsaw in their hand.
See, now that clown, she should be on the new Bunnings ad. You know, just telling people about their specials, because you know how they use employees. They're the real people do work there. Get the clown out the front, or the person that cooks the snacks.
And who's in charge of this? Who's getting all the clowns together and saying, hey, guys, let's go and terrorise people? 007 Ben, can you come in here, Benny? Because he's been trying to get onto the clown group.
I don't think there is a group of clowns that are planning, let's dress up tonight and hit the streets,
dudes. Well, you'd be surprised. Jay, what's the Twitter page that you follow?
Oh, on Facebook, Clown Sightings Australia, I think it is.
It's a group of clown sightings
Australia.
You're
getting sucked in, mate. Now, Ben, we gave you one assignment this morning, and unfortunately, you've let us down. Tell us what's happened.
Okay, so I spoke to Clown Purge Australia, and they said, where's the Nova station located? And I said, in Pyrmont. And they said, I'll talk to the other members. Two balloon emojis.
So they're coming for you.
They might be coming for us. Then I spoke to Clown Purge Sydney, and they said, ooh, that would be great. When can we make this happen?
But what, they refuse to come on the show, Ben?
Well, they're speaking to their other members to see if they can,
so
they can come on the show.
One clown has to talk to another clown to get clown approval.
I think there might be a leader clown that they're speaking to, so they need to get the leader clown's approval before they can come on the show.
This is like the ultimate Christmas for the clown society.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they would, I would have thought, be stinging to come on air and have a chat about this. No one else cares about them.
Clowns aren't supposed to scare people. They're supposed to make you laugh.
Well,
they've totally lost their way.
Got the wrong kind of clown. There's good clown and there's bad clown.
The Clown Purge Sutherland Shire said, we'll see you Friday. I live in the Shire.
Oh,
they're coming after me.
Benny. Benny, they've declared war like Anonymous on Ben Harlow.
Oh, wouldn't be the first time.
You've got to admit, though, that clowns, they're not as popular as they used to be anymore. Like kids don't really get into them as much.
Circus is a bit on the nose these days, so they've got nothing to do.
With video games and that around, and you know what? Superhero parties at kids' parties are better than watching someone try to make a toy poodle out of a balloon.
Have you ever been able to make a balloon animal, though, Fitzy? I think you're downplaying the difficulty.
But kids, they need something more these days, yeah. Like, kids are jumping out of planes and stuff, like base jumping and stuff,
Where does a good clown go bad? I mean, what stage where they go, you know what? I'm not going to make another dog out of a balloon. I'm going to be bad clown now.
No, well, the worst one is that Gracie. He was the serial killer in the States.
Oh.
And he used to befriend children at kids' parties dressed as a clown. Now, that's a scary clown.
Well, it was all a bit of fun up until you.
We were talking about Bunnings clowns, and now you've got a serial killer.
We were talking about dogs out of balloons and hot dog stands at Bunnings, and now you're talking about the killer. That's cool.
And we've got him on the line now. When's your death sentence, mate?
if there is a clown out there right now, one, if you're a good clown and you're angry because they're giving clowns a bad name, and if there's a bad clown out there, we'd love them to call the show 13-24-10.
Clowns.
You never know, mate. There's plenty of them, apparently, according to the Clown Society. Nova. Fitzy and Wibber.